You're listening to the Franchise Podcast Network, presented by Lucky Star Casino. KRXO FM and KRXO HD Oklahoma City, a product of Tyler Media, reaching over 1 million Oklahomans every week. Now, the Outdoor Hour, giving you the inside scoop on the great outdoors on 107.7 The Franchise.
As long as I can remember, I've been drawn to the outdoors. There's something primal in each of us that awakens when we step outside the bounds of modern society and back into the vast possibilities of the natural world. The more civilized our lives become, the louder our hearts cry for reconnection with our native ways. Failure is imminent, dangers drawing nigh, but approached with reverence and tact, the outdoors return wisdom and gain. In both the outdoors and in life, harvests are fleeting, but lessons and memories abound. With that in mind, we step forth boldly together in pursuit of ourselves outdoors. We are nothing more than tree stand troubadours. Welcome inside the Outdoor Hour. We've been doing this show for a couple of years now. I don't know that I've ever been more excited for a topic of conversation than I am this week. Josh, we miss you in studio. Glad you're on the phone line with us.
Yeah, you know, hanging out in Idaho, been kind of all over the place.
You have
and,
been.
From Montana to Idaho to Utah, back to Idaho, just doing it.
Is this the working family vacation portion of the trip, or where are you in terms of your mindset at this point?
Yeah, you know, had some meetings this morning and did some work, and now, you know, you caught me, thank goodness, in time where I jump on a river with my pops and my good buddy Jason Monroe, and we're going to go try to find some trout this morning.
Loading up the drift boat?
You know it. A good old adipose skiff.
Good for you, man. Well, I have also been on the road for the last, it feels like 2 weeks. I've been in Florida. And I think we teased on the show a couple of weeks ago that I was going to be doing some saltwater fly fishing for the first time. Did we talk about that, or did you and I just, okay.
No, we talked about that for sure. How'd that go? Is your life ruined? Because it ruined mine the first time I went. So
ruined is an interesting way to articulate this. I've been trying over the last couple of days to think about how we could describe this. And I haven't found the right words. I know that I am extremely...
It alters your perception.
I am extremely a different person than I was a week ago. For starters, thoroughly sunburned, extremely bug-bitten, and just 100% ate up with saltwater fly fishing.
Yeah, it's a game changer, man.
When
start
I look
thinking about stuff a little differently.
Yes, and I've got some questions for you because I know you've got a little bit more extensive background than I do in saltwater angling. This was my first time with a fly rod in saltwater. But man, I've been thinking a lot about it over the last week, and there's a few things in my life that I've done in the outdoors, and I really don't even need to qualify it within the outdoors, but there's a few things that I've done that have just kind of altered the brain chemistry for me, and I always try to lean in. We talk about this a lot, Josh, you and I, like, what things can I do that I forget to check my cell phone for an extended period of time? I feel like in today's world, that's a really cool benchmark. When I first started learning to surf, that was one of those things. Duck hunting for a season of my life was one of those things. Hunting big bucks for the first time was one of those things. Drift boats at night was one of those things for brown trout, mousing for trout. But I don't know that any of them even hold a candle to the drug that is tarpon fishing in the salt flats. Just unbelievably cool experience and unlike anything else I've ever done. And I'm not good at it. I will start by saying that. I have never been more humbled by an outdoor endeavor than I was this last week. But I've never learned as much. I've never felt more driven to like just gain understanding and experience and competence in something that is a little unfamiliar to me. So man, like I don't even know where to start, but I want to talk about saltwater fishing this week. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me, man.
All right, so let me paint a picture for you first here. I had a very unique experience. A couple of my buddies who are trout guides in Arkansas were off the Atlantic coast of Florida for a few weeks this summer learning to guide for tarpon. So they were set up with another buddy who I've now met guiding for tarpon, and I was fortunate a couple of days to get on the boat with these cats. So this is a really unique experience for someone, though, because I actually was the fourth wheel on a boat that had three professional guides. Between the three of them, over 50 years of guiding experience. And you've seen me cast a fly rod. You know that I am no professional by any means. It was extremely humbling to be standing up on the bow of a boat, you know, watching tarpon roll and trying to lay out a cast and do all of these things. And I got one guy picking apart my hand position, one guy picking apart, don't shift your weight. You're putting all kinds of micro, what do you call those? Ripples,
microwaves
yeah. out, you know, just, it was like, literally I had three coaches screaming at me every time I did anything. I don't know that a lot of
like
people, I don't know that a lot of people would have enjoyed it, frankly.
That sounds like a blast.
One dude literally kicked me in the rear end one time because he was tired of telling me to choke up on the grip on my fly rod. Because my hand naturally kind of drifts back towards the center of the cork. But man, anyways, I'm doing a real poor job of painting this picture, but I'm up on the bow of this boat. I've got three guys watching me and helping me, and it was a little unnerving at first. It was very exposing, because like I've said, I enjoy fly fishing. I'm not a terrific angler. I'm not the best caster in the world. And in the wind, in a saltwater environment with three guides watching you, and when you've got tarpon rolling in front of you and you're trying to lay a perfect cast out in the right spot at the right time, in that environment, it's super challenging.
Yeah, it's not easy for sure. You know, tarpon is a whole different beast. You know, but I'm not sure there's anything as exhilarating other than like sharks on the fly rod. But
so I learned a whole lot this week. I knew what a tarpon was, and I have seen tarpon.
Can I interject real quick?
Please do.
So what is the size of a tarpon for somebody who doesn't know what a tarpon is?
Well, it depends. The tarpon that I know how to land are about the size of a bass.
Okay.
The juveniles can be quite small. And we've posted some pictures in the last week of those on the Outdoor Hour social media at @outdoor_hour. I believe, and Josh, you can fact check me on this, off the coast of Africa is, I think, where they're found to be the biggest, and they can push 300 pounds.
That's reeling in a goldfish.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 200 plus tarpon are hard to come by anymore, anywhere in the world. But yeah, I mean, I think historically there's been absolute monsters. I've never caught a tarpon over 135 myself, but still a pig.
Yeah. The guide that I was fishing with in this part of the state of Florida, which is not known for having massive tarpon, it's more of a juvenile tarpon area, told us the biggest fish he's ever had mouth grabbed off of his boat, I think, was 120. But But
yeah,
even
that seems
still,
fair.
Yeah.
For sure.
Even still. Last week they pulled in an 80. They pulled in a 90. So they've pulled in some big fish. The biggest one I jumped and hooked into, I think, was probably 15 pounds. So still in that juvenile
range. Yeah, I mean, that one you caught was a fun one off that video that you posted.
Yeah, I've got a story about that one. We'll get to that because I had a huge learning experience. Man, I've been so excited just to jump into this. We haven't even done proper introductions this week. Should we stop and do that?
Oh, we should do that. We probably should.
We definitely should.
Let's do that.
As if, you know, if people care.
This has been a really good, like, cold open for the show, you know? Maybe we've got somebody hooked. But let's do the right things the right way. This is the Outdoor Hour. I'm Taylor Maples. I just shot a bear. Yes, I did.
You like that one?
That is outstanding.
He hasn't heard that one yet, has he?
No, he has not.
You are a gentleman and a scholar.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
On the phone line this week.
No,
go ahead.
I don't know how we, you know, get you submitted for, you know, some type of radio producing awards, but we need to look into that.
You know, I'm not going to stop you guys. That'd be nice on the good old resume.
We'll look into that for us.
That's right.
On the phone lines from McCall, Idaho this week, Joshua Wildman Stratton.
Wildman Stratton.
That took me all week. Literally, my computer has been in overdrive. Breaking up audio to make that. And it only took me 5 minutes to make last night. But it took me all week to get all the audio.
They just keep let's let that one roll again.
Just take that in, you know?
Joshua Wildman Stratton.
Wildman Stratton.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's as good as it
gets.
That's
it.
Thank you.
That's it right there, boys.
Thank you.
And the evil genius on the ones and twos, the one and only Matty Goldfish.
Always baked and extra cheesy.
I love the goldfish.
Classic. Terrific.
I should have put a flush at the end of that one. I'm regretting that choice now.
That's all right. It's still a work in progress. Well, where were we? Tarpon fishing, right? So,
for
anybody that doesn't know, because I didn't know a week ago, tarpon fishing is so different than anything else you do with a fly rod. I had no idea how much it was kind of a spot and stock endeavor. And at least the way we did it, Josh, I'm curious to get your take, but what we spent a lot of time doing was we would get up early, we'd get out there, and we would be looking for rolls, which is where, you know, in some of these creeks, the tarpon will actually come up and break the surface for a gulp of air and then kind of screw themselves back down towards the bottom. And so you're almost looking for, think of like if you've ever seen a dolphin breach the surface and go down, you're waiting for these massive fish to come up, gulp some air, and then duck back down. And then you've got a goal of figuring out, okay, was that fish moving left? Was it moving right towards me, away from me? And trying to lay your cast within like a 2-foot by 2-foot box in front of where that fish is going. Is that kind of your experience with tarpon as well, Josh?
No.
Really?
More like looking for them. Yeah, I mean, that's a way, but I've spent a lot more time looking for in crystal clear water, looking for them, daisy chaining up, and fishing for them that way.
Sure. Let me...
More sight casting than chasing them.
Yeah. So we were not in crystal clear water. So we're basically stuck waiting for them to show themselves and then putting a move on one fish.
Yep.
Super, super
cool.
Yeah,
I've fished a lot more for them out of on the Gulf side and... Dunedin, and then south into, you know, the Keys.
Toward the
then
Keys.
I have. I've actually never fished for them on the Atlantic side.
Well, we're going to go because it is a freaking blast. So something else I didn't know is obviously tarpon jump. Anybody that has explored tarpon fishing or seen tarpon fishing knows that. But the technique that's required to actually keep a tarpon on the line while they're jumping, the concept of bowing to the king, as they say, it's an interesting thing, unlike anything else, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So you're hooking into these fish, and again, variety of sizes, but let's just go ahead and assume that any of them that you're going to hook into are bigger than anything else you've probably caught on a fly rod, if, like me, your background is in trout fishing. And they immediately just get airborne. They freak out. They're throwing themselves up out of the water. You know, you can hear their gills just rattling off the side of their face as they thrash around in the air, and they invert themselves and go back in head first. So at least the way I was taught is you've got to get the stick, you've got to get your fly rod down to help kind of lead them and keep the appropriate amount of tension on the line so that they aren't busting you off while they're in the air. Is that a fair assessment?
100%. Yeah, I mean, you know, there are so many things going on dynamically once they start jumping, you know, with tension on the rod, and that, you know, it's so easy for them to pop off if you don't make the right move at the right time and, you know, keep that connection going between the reel, the leader, and the fish.
So there's a lot of things that make tarpon fishing different than other saltwater endeavors. There's a lot of things that make salt just so different than river fishing or any other freshwater fishing. Probably the most obvious being the strip set.
Yeah, apparently you're not supposed to set trout that way, but I'm convinced otherwise.
Do you strip set trout?
I don't intentionally.
You probably get ridiculed less for strip setting a trout than I might for trout setting a tarpon.
Facts.
Man, and yeah. I wasn't the worst at it on the boat that week, which makes me feel good because remember, I was fishing with a couple of trout guys. It's a little bit different world, right? So the concept there is you're stripping in line. You're trying to get these fish to line up on your fly and then eat it and attack it. And you've got to leave the rod tip down, even in the water, and just yank that line back behind you to set that hook. It's such a different motion that I'm used to making. The only time I've ever had to do strip setting like that is for brown trout when I'm mousing. So it's not a completely new concept for me, but it's amazing when you get out there and you're excited because you've got a fish. You're watching these fish hunt your fly, and everything gets exciting, everything gets tense, and you watch him eat. It is so freaking hard to not lift up on that fly rod right away.
Oh, yeah, it's near impossible. You know, you have so much experience and repetitive
muscle memory
of yeah. doing it over and over and over again, you know?
Well, eventually I got the strip set figured out. I hooked into some good fish. I made some mistakes along the way, some of them more comical, some of them more costly. I learned a lot, and I've got some questions for you, Josh, as well as I want to tell you some more stories about what my experience was. So let's get into that on the other side of this. We're going to take a quick break. This is the Outdoor Hour on 107.7 The Franchise.
The
You're listening to The Outdoor Hour with your host Taylor Maples and Josh Stratton on 107.7 The Franchise.
Welcome back inside The Outdoor Hour. Taylor Maples in the studio alongside Maddie Goldfish. On the phone line this week is Joshua Wildman Stratton. We're doing a little talking about saltwater fly fishing, recapping my week, tarpon fishing off the Atlantic coast of Florida. Josh, man, I said it in the first segment. I'll say it again. Unbelievable experience. I cannot wait to go back. But holy cow, was this a humbling week for me.
Yeah, I mean, we all got to get humbled, right? I think that's a good thing. Little challenge in all of our lives makes us better. But, man, it's no different than any other new experience in the outdoor industry, right? We got to start at some point, and then if we're lucky, we get opportunities to learn and grow and be surrounded by people who can make us better and keep our stoke up. And then next thing you know, we're like, oh, this is my 50th saltwater trip. And it seems like it was just your first one not too long ago.
Yeah. Well, I hope this is the case for me because I had an absolute blast. So I got to fish for 2 days, pulled in dozens of fish. I had the slam, what they call the inshore slam, a sea trout, a red, and a snook. On that same day, I tied into a really good black drum, and he broke me off. And I'll tell you the story there in a minute. That was a learning experience. Also tied into a tarpon and jumped a tarpon that day that I wasn't able to land. So, I mean, I was in the neighborhood of not only the slam, but a grand slam and the super slam on that day. We had a pretty epic day on my second day. This was cool, though. We got into a really fishy snook area. Have you caught many snook?
Man, I've done a decent amount of snook fishing in the nighttime pursuits.
What would the plural of snook be? Would that be snooks, or is it just also snook?
I think it's just snook, but you know, I'm just a
give me a second. I'm on it.
So I don't really know.
Goldfish, I need to know what the plural of snook is. So,
I hope it's snooky.
Snooky.
That's what I hope it is.
So. Snook are a really interesting species. If you haven't seen them, you can go to the Outdoor Hour Instagram page. We got some pictures up there. I'd never heard a snook pop on the water before.
It's snooks.
Snooks.
Huh.
So lots of snooks.
That's lame.
But snook do this thing.
Cooler.
Yeah, I know, right? They do this thing. I mean, they literally get that jaw going so fast that it sounds like a pop whenever they eat off the surface. Have you heard that before?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So you're pulling around, kind of in these flats areas, banging shots up underneath the mangroves with the fly rod, and you hear pop, and you look over, and you're like, oh, snook just ate. Man, one of these days we found a really cool area around some mangroves that was just a highway for snooks. And it was like every shot we took, I'm just getting yelled at from the guy up on the polling platform. Hey, to the left, there's a group in from the right. School, come in here. Shoot there. Like, just almost chaotic on the boat because there were so many snook around us. And it was like almost every cast, you're getting some type of engagement, whether you're turning a fish, whether they're actually lining up on it and making a pursuit, or you're actually getting an eat. But we spent a couple of hours just smoking these snook. It was so cool. I posted a picture of the biggest that I brought in. But we caught a ton of snooks on what I'm told was a very epic day of snook fishing. I know they're one of those species that can kind of be hot or cold. We had a great day on them, and all my buddies were saying that it was kind of a historic day, that like a career day, if you will. So that was a really cool experience.
I love that. So you mentioned earlier that these guys had 50 years of experience.
Yeah.
How many years of that in being saltwater guides?
Well, so, and that's the thing, is my two buddies from Arkansas, one of them has been out in Florida a couple of summers fishing, but he's never guided in the salts. The other one is in the process of getting his captain's license, so he has also never guided on salt water, but he's been tarpon fishing for 4 or 5 years by himself. So when you're looking at the saltwater guiding experience, we're really just talking about the captain of the boat who's been, you know, he's about our age, and he's been doing it since high school. So you're looking at 15 years or so of experience himself.
Nice.
So super rad.
It's still pretty good. Yeah, super rad.
So there's some other differences here, though, that I learned, and some of this was humbling for me. And I love the way they articulate this when they're talking about tarpon. You may have heard this before, but I was told this week, when you're fighting a tarpon, you're not fighting him to wear him out physically. You're fighting him to break his spirit. Have you heard that before?
I mean, I would say that's why. I mean, I think they're just trying to use a play on words, insinuating that, you know, it's a beast and you got to break its spirit. But I mean, you know, that's not real. Like,
you know,
yeah,
what I love about you.
Fish out.
I love how unpredictable you are, Josh, because there are times that you can romanticize something so much, and there are times where you just have no energy for somebody else's perspective.
Yeah.
Go with me on this, man. Come on.
But yes, Taylor, for sure. I've said it before. I've said it many a times. Like, but, you know, you've heard it from me, or if you've listened to the show and you've been red fishing with me, like, that's my intent. Like, is to conquer it and let it go. Like, I'm not here to play a fish out. You know, when you start talking about playing tarpon out for long periods of time, there are really serious ramifications there. Every time that tarpon jumps, that's a dinner bell sounding. And, you know, the longer you fight that fish without getting it in or releasing it, the higher likelihood is that it's going to die. It's also going to, they build up lactic acid, they lose their ability to swim quickly. And so though it may be alive, when you release it, if you fought it for too long, it's so lethargic, that it's now prey, and there's a really high chance it's going to get eaten. Tarpon get eaten too often by sharks anyways. And my opinion is probably because too many people are trying to land every tarpon that they hook into, and they're trying to do that on too light of tippet or too light of a leader because, in my opinion, they're ego fishing. And you know, the reality is feel that we owe a responsibility, whether we're in the field hunting or when we're fishing, to do it as humanely and ethically as possible. And, you know, I think most tarpon, particularly when we start talking bigger tarpon, like, man, jump them a couple of times, feel them, cut it. You know, it's why you don't use stainless steel hooks when you tarpon fish. It's, you know, there's a variety of things you can do with your setup so that you're in a position where you can easily cut that off. And within 24 hours, that hook is going to rust out and that fish is going to be completely fine. And So, you know, I think if people were to up their weight class and their leaders, if they were willing to take a really hard look at what are they trying to get out of landing a tarpon versus, you know, convincing it to eat, watching it jump, feeling its power, letting it go. One, we'd probably have healthier tarpon populations. And two, I think, honestly, people would have more enjoyment of tarpon fishing.
So I actually love the direction you took this, because I feel like you and I have not talked about this. You don't know what my thoughts are or what my experiences are outside of what I've already told you on the show this evening. But you're confirming a lot of things that I have felt this week about the sport. Confirming maybe is too strong of a word, because it's your opinion, but I generally like your opinion when it comes to the outdoors and the ethics of interaction with game species. Man, I agree with you completely. So let me tell you the story of the one that got away, we'll call it. We were in that same spot that I was just telling you about that was super snooky, and I'd laid out a really good cast up under some mangroves, and I'm doing nice, long, quick strips trying to get a snook to come because they need a little bit more aggressive of a strip. And all of a sudden, from behind me up on the polling platform, I hear the guide say, tarpon, go tarpon strips. So my long, quick strips become shorter, tick, 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 as I go to a little bit more of a tarpon style. We're using a fly that would attract either of those. And sure enough, this tarpon cues in on the fly, lines it up, and it was just such a cool moment to watch this fish eat the fly. I strip set him well, and he just immediately took off. To use one of our good buddy Grayson's analogies, he was fighting like a pissed off pickup truck. This thing just going crazy. Jumped him a few times, and remember, my background with a fly rod in my hand is trout. So a lot of those instincts took over. I jump him a few times. I bow as he jumps. I let him run a little here, little there. But ultimately, I'm stripping in, and I finally get him to the boat. And I turn around, and I'm looking, waiting for somebody to grab this fish, because I think I've done my part. I brought him to the boat, right? That's how I've always caught fish from a boat. Fish got another surge of energy, took off, and I wasn't ready for it. I should have let more line go, and he snapped me off.
Dang.
So I went from basically the most awe-inspiring, successful moment of my fishing career of convincing a juvenile, but a good-sized juvenile tarpon to eat my fly, jumping him, dancing with him, doing all the things, and didn't actually land the fish. You know, you don't get the picture in that way, which is kind of heartbreaking in a way that I should check my own heart in the mirror a little bit about, frankly.
Well, you know, tarpon shouldn't come out of the water anyway, so.
Sure. But at least a mouth
grab shot. You can give yourself some grace in that.
Yeah. Long story short, no, I learned a lot. I thought the fight was over.
Yeah.
The fight was not over. But I'm also satisfied with how the moment went when you look back on it. Because like you said, I kept the fish wet. I got to jump it a few times. Nothing about my experience with this fish would have been any different, you know, had I leaned out of the boat and gotten a photo with a mouth grab. But it's interesting what that does to you when you cut your line and you say, hey, you know, I did it. There, you kind of get that moment of completion, right? Compared to the exact same circumstances, but shoot, I feel like he got the best of me in this moment suddenly. You walk away with a little bit different taste in your mouth.
That's a fact. Yeah, definitely. It got you, right? The kind of feeling that you walk away from of, well, that's a win for them and a loss for the good guys, you know. But, hey, man, that fish is still out there.
Yeah.
Doing its thing. Now you just have to go back and find it again.
Yep. Super, super cool, though, man. I learned more.
Well, you know what you should do?
What's that?
You know, to continue this saltwater presence is, you know, come to Venice, Louisiana, November 22nd through the 26th, and chase some big reds and some jacks.
If only I knew some guys that took a trip.
Yeah, around November 22nd through the 26th.
Where might someone go to learn more about this trip? Do you guys actually still have spots?
Yeah, yeah. There's plenty of spots. They can just DM me and we'll go from there.
Get a hold of Josh at @against_current on Instagram. Sounds like it's the best way to get more details. We've been talking about that trip for a couple of years. I know you've done it for a number of years. That's absolutely a bucket list item for sure.
Yeah. Well, you should come along.
Just might have
to. Come along.
Just might have to. Hey, we got to squeeze in another break. More from the Outdoor Hour on the other side on 107.7 The Franchise.
Now back to the Outdoor Hour with your hosts Taylor Maples and Josh Stratton on 107.7 The Franchise.
Welcome back inside the Outdoor Hour, final segment. Taylor Maples in studio alongside Maddie Goldfish on the phone lines from Idaho this week, the one and only Joshua Wildman Stratton. Man,
I want my new song to play every time you say my name, I think.
Oh, you mean like this?
That out there.
Wildman Stratton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can make that a thing.
Man, just the Stones coming in hot, you know?
Like, yeah, I was sitting in, I can't remember if I was in KOMA or if I was in KRXO, and the song came on, and I was like, perfect. I was like, I
well, the best part
fit.
is the other version of Wild Horses that Graham Parsons does is also unbelievable.
Noted.
Cool history about that song.
See, I'm striking chords I didn't even mean to.
Isn't there a...
I know.
Didn't, like, Scott Stapp do a Wild Horses or somebody like that?
I hope not, because that would be disrespectful.
I was about to try to do with the voice, but I'm laughing too much. I don't think I can.
That's a song that only true musicians should be allowed to touch, but... That's fine.
I'm going to have to
look
this
fine.
Up.
I mean, can we be real for a second, though? Jars of Clay, that album, it hits. Don't lie to yourself.
It does not slap. And
I didn't say it slaps. I said it hits. There's a difference.
Yeah, in all the wrong places.
It starts off with the beautiful What If, I do believe. Oh.
In all the wrong places. Oh, man. I saw a float in the river yesterday, saw myself a pair of twin elk babies, which was super cool.
This actually segues perfect to what I want to talk to you guys about.
All right.
So, I know you're the Mule Deer Foundation, right? But have you seen this video of the mule with the elk yet?
Uh-uh.
Okay. So this mule was like adopted by these people in California. They had it. They went on a hike. Something spooked the mule. It ran away. This was in 2019. They never found the mule. This dude was bow hunting. Found the video.
Yes, Taylor, I did see this.
He takes a video and he's like, "What is that?" The mule has joined an elk herd and is like a part of the herd, and they're literally moving as one. Like, it's beautiful. Like, it's just so funny. Like,
yeah.
I was like, man, that is really cool. I was like, I wonder if they've seen this yet. So I don't know if you've guys seen anything crazy, other animal adoptions on your hunts and stuff, but
I didn't know what you were.
Well, there was that husky. There was that husky that linked up with those bears a couple of months ago.
That's news to me.
Yeah, I did not see that one.
Was it bears or wolves? I can't remember. Anyways, I'm not good at remembering those stories. I deleted social media off my phone like a month and a plus ago, so I really have lost touch with those things, which has been fabulous.
Good for
you.
By
the way, if anyone was wondering,
we did a story. This might have been before either of you were on the Outdoor Hour. This might have been something Todd Lisenby brought
when it was garbage.
Yes, exactly. There was a woman.
When you guys were in the minor leagues.
There was a woman who was bow hunting and was celebrating that she had shot a wolf.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it was just somebody's dog.
And it was a husky. Yeah.
And
yeah,
she got in so much trouble because she put pictures all over social media. Yeah, I'm so blessed to harvest a once-in-a-lifetime wolf, and it's like...
Did she get it taxidermy? That was Balto.
It's a bad look.
That is hilarious.
It is a bad look.
That sounds like an SNL skit.
That's a bad look. Hey, have you seen these soft taxidermy mounts, Josh?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
they're
like pillows that you can do with wolves and stuff.
Yeah, do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea. I'm about to Google this. Hold on.
Yeah.
Look it up real quick. So it's a new – I don't know if it's new. It's – relatively new to me. I would call it
a fad.
Yeah, I hope it's just a fad. I mean, what, the last year, maybe 2 years, is this a new thing?
I couldn't put a year on it. I'm not sure, but I have seen more of them in the last 4 or 5 years for sure.
And it's primarily like
dogs.
This is like the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my life, but I totally would have one.
So
just to creep people out, I think.
Well, like, okay, so you go out and you shoot, you know, a wolf or a mountain lion or something like that. A soft mount would be a really interesting way to have more of an interactive experience with your mount. But people do this with, like, their house pets.
Yeah, they do, when they die.
I just found a cowboy squirrel.
Now you're just going down a rabbit hole of weird taxidermy. Have you seen the, what do they call them, squallets? And they're, like, wallets that are made out of squirrels?
I have not. But
no, but I'm in.
Yes, I'm 100% in on that.
There are some weird things happening out there in the taxidermy world.
Well, there's only so far, right? Like, I mean, these award-winning guys who are making, like, full-on displays, you know, where, like, there's a human being and, like, it with a backpack with the taxidermy on it, it looks like it's covered in snow and, like... Dude, yeah. There's all kinds of craziness out there.
The backpack mounts are kind of cool. I don't know that I would get one. But, you know, when they, like, have
it
rolled
up. They have a place for, like, I like them in, like, magazines, you know. I mean, like, museums, right? Like, if you were making something for a natural history museum or trying to depict a period of time, like, I get that. But just to, like, have in your house, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I'm out.
What, you don't want a Lewis and Clark adventure recreation in your living room, bro? That's very unwild, man.
This is true.
Josh, I think you need to get a soft, is that what they call them, soft mount?
Yes, that's what it's, soft taxidermy or whatever.
Okay.
I almost went British there for a second.
Yeah.
Taxidermy.
Yeah, but imagine turning either your harvest or your pet into basically a stuffed animal that is just like heavy, but no structure to it at all.
Oh, what was the
sling it over your shoulder, you know?
The stretchy guy?
Stretch Armstrong?
Yes. That just kind of what it looks like. The body is all wacky inflatable arm sign.
Super weird, right?
Yes. Very weird. Like if I
super weird.
If I walked in and there was just like a room of those, I would have second thoughts about that person.
Yeah. Hey, let's do this. If you are listening to the Outdoor Hour and you have a soft mount, tag us in a picture. Send us something. I want to have
come
you
on the show.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about
bring
your
it
soft
with
mount.
You.
Bring it in.
Actually, I think I know somebody who just started doing taxidermy, like on Twitch or whatever.
Yeah.
I might be able to get that situation hooked up.
We should run down that road. I'm actually suddenly very curious. Somebody should do soft mount fish.
Aren't those the ones that just sing at you anyways?
They hang on the wall. And what are those called?
Like Billy Bass. I can't remember.
Yeah,
something
I think so.
Like that. Billy the Bass or Bass Mouth or something. I can't remember.
Yeah. Smash Mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something different entirely.
Yes. Sad story.
Yeah.
Man. Well, this episode took a turn.
We took a turn.
That's what happens when you guys let me talk. Two segments, all outdoors, and then I said something, and we're talking about Smash Mouth.
Nah, there you go. It's all good. Josh, all things considered, we got to go chase some reds together. I would love to take you to the Atlantic coast. I got a place we can stay. I got some people that we can get out on boats with. I'm hooked on tarpon, man.
It's the real deal. Well, you know, you can also chase tarpon in Venice, Louisiana. So,
yeah,
just not November. But yeah, you know, once you get in it, then you got to start chasing tarpon everywhere, right? Like tarpon run in Texas. You got to run down there. That's a vibe. You know, you got to fish for them in the Keys. That's a different vibe. You got to fish for them out of Cedar Key, Florida. Completely different vibe there, you know, and they all behave a little differently, and they're all around at different times of the year as you're dealing with these large migratory fish. You know, you have cool areas where, you know, you have residential tarpon, and then there's places in the country where they're only there seasonally and there are no residential tarpon. And, you know, there are people who make a summer out of following the migration of tarpon and catching them in all the different places that they call home.
Well, I am always looking for things that remind me of how insignificant I am in the greater scheme of things, and just give me a raw look at the power of nature and the potential that's possible in those interactions. And in the last couple of years, bear hunting with a bow and tarpon fishing on the fly have been the two things that have gotten my heart pounding the most. And I live my life in a way that, man, I don't know that I'll ever get to do those things again, but dang, I'm going to pursue them. I want to get in there and get after it and learn everything I can and continue to improve my skill. And I'm fired up now just to go cast the fly rod in the backyard more, because now I feel like, okay, I know what it's like to cast out of a drift boat, and I can cast when I'm, you know, wet wading in Oklahoma, etc. But man, getting out on the bow of a boat in the salt flats chasing tarpon, you got to have it tight, right? Like, you've given me a hard time in passing about my casting technique, and it's like, okay, now I know some real things, and now I've got a reason to improve upon those.
When you were getting yelled at by three guides, did your brain go, oh, Josh has told me all of those things a kajillion times? Did you have those moments?
Yeah. I mean, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. And I'm happy to have you as a friend. What are you saying? No, man, actually, it was great. Like, I learned so much, and you're right. I've been awful at casting. But again, for me, sometimes
it's... You're not awful. There's just simple things that, like, you don't... trout fishing, you don't have to worry about, right?
I get away with a lot because of where I fish. Yes.
Yeah. You can get away with everything.
Well, let's get together. And, let's do some casting because I'm a changed man.
I love to hear this. I love what you're saying right now.
Hey, we're up against time, man. Always enjoy chatting with you. Go enjoy the rest of your time in Idaho. Catch some trout.
Yeah,
maybe
I got a group of people staring. I got a group of people staring at me right now, going, "Hey, dude, you said we were going fishing, and now we've had to stand here and stare at you walk around with earbuds in for, you know, an hour. So I better get these people on the river.
Go catch some fish. Set downstream. Don't strip set these trout." And send me some pics. How's that sound?
Yeah, well, this river that we're going to fish too, and I know we got to go, is interesting because it also holds largemouth and smallies. So,
Well, we're going to have to, when you get back, let's recap it. I want to hear more about your trip, and the experience.
Okay.
and the people you're with always.
Love it, brother. Well, appreciate you guys. Get outside, do something cool this week.
Yep. Enjoy your time. Goldfish, we always enjoy you. You are the MVP of this show.
And Josh is gone.
Now we can say what we really think.
He's going to call back in. He heard the tail end of it.
Yeah.
Wait.
We got to get out of here. This has been the Outdoor Hour. You can find us on social media at @outdoor_hour. You can find me at @T_Maples. Josh is @against_current on social media. Thanks for joining us. Go check out our friends at J.D. Adams & Company on the northwest corner of 122nd and North May Avenue. They'll get you everything you need to go out and have a great experience like the one I had in Florida tarpon fishing. They've also got some great trips going, Venice, Louisiana, always something to Cuba, always something to South America. Go check out those guys at J.D. Adams & Company. And please tell them you heard about it on the Outdoor Hour. That's going to do it for us this week. We'll see you next time. Until then, go boldly. We'll see you outdoors.